Hey, this is Gun Selling Washington, D.C., and this is our weekend wrap-up. We are looking forward to our first live event, which is going to be Tuesday, November the 8th, election night. As soon as the polls close on the East Coast, I'm going to be broadcasting live from just north of Washington, D.C., and hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun. So I hope to see some of you there, and if some of you tuning in for the live stream, now here is me and my brother pontificating and bloviating and speculating about the upcoming election. Enjoy.
Start showing. There we go. Okay. Hey, this is Gunn in Washington, D.C.
This is Jack Sully, once again, driving through America's heartland in pitch darkness.
Yes, he is. All right. And we are doing a little last-minute brainstorming for our party on Tuesday, which Tech is going to be hilariously late for. Hopefully he'll get there before the polls close out west, which if anyone knows what time zones are, the polls close out west at 7 p.m., which for us out here is 10 p.m. Did I do my time zones right, Broder?
Okay, so I'm hearing myself echo back.
Yeah, you shouldn't be hearing yourself echo back. There's no you coming through anything. Just don't worry about that.
Okay. It's just doing that thing they do to people to make them stutter.
Oh, no. Okay. It's a
auditory. Stutter, that's what's happening. I'm getting my own sound knocked back at me every couple of microseconds. Basically 3 hours after the polls close on the East Coast, which is what, 6 o'clock?
7 o'clock, 7 p.m., and that's when the party starts.
So 10 p.m., the West Coast will be closed. Now, Hawaii doesn't close. If this sucker's a nail barger and it's going down to the wire, Hawaii doesn't close until 5 hours after, which will carry us all the way to midnight. I don't know when Alaska is, but I know Hawaii's 5 hours off to the East Coast.
So my plan is we're going to be talking on the phone with you and a few other people. Hopefully some of my Jill Stein supporting friends will be able to either attend or call in. Hoping that. And also some of my closet libertarian friends will show up, which should be fun. So we're going to have people calling in and people watching over the live stream. So do you have any pre-planned jokes, brother?
I've been making little notes. I literally have less than 36 hours to come up with them. But I got a couple on deck. One thing I've been telling everybody who tells me they voted early, and I say I don't know who you voted for, but you should be ashamed of yourself.
Nice.
I've only had one rabid Trump fan who is like, what? No, he's wonderful. Everything he does is wonderful. I'm like, that's objectively not true.
Yeah, it is one of those things. As we pointed out in the primary, we had people who were like basically going, Donald Trump is the Christian choice. He's the Christian choice because he's the Christian choice. And nothing to back that statement up. And you'd go, why not? Why aren't you voting for a Christian? You know, like Ted Cruz. He's ugly.
Well, I'll grant you that. Interestingly, in the Podesta emails, the telling thing is that Trump and what's his name, the slow talking doctor.
My favorite candidate.
I liked him because he was the only non-anti-vax guy on the entire stage. He was the only non-anti-vaccine guy. If you got to be a single issue voter, that's mine.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing where your standards are so lowered in that election. It's like the guy that says one logical thing, you're like, that's it right there. That guy who said the one logical thing.
I hold on to that logical thing like the kid at the end of Neverending Story holds on to that grain of sand that saves the world, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to this so much. We're having...
I can't wait to begin on November 9th hating whoever president elect is.
That was my... to do so
for the next 4 years.
That was my statement, is I can't wait to hate my next president. It's like...
Well, you and I have both gotten ahead of the game. You started hating Hillary sooner than I did. I've been hating Donald Trump long before he ran for president because he bought property in Charlottesville, just outside the home base for me for working, and he's known for being Captain Land Grab, where he'll use eminent domain, he'll get the government to bully people off their land, you know, because he's a big government liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's always been, and now he's all of a sudden the conservatives' candidate. I gotta say, when people are like, "Why are you voting for Johnson? You can't vote for Johnson. You're letting Hillary win, or you're letting Donald Trump win," and they talk with such superiority. And I think that's why I'm so sick of this election, is because you have this moral superiority from both sides of the Democrats and the Republicans that have no right to be pretentious or morally superior to anybody. The only thing that I can criticize Johnson for is he does talk about his physical physique, his physical abilities a little too much. Because for me, that just comes across as him saying, "I could beat up the other two candidates."
Yeah, well, while Donald Trump was groping women against their will, he was climbing friggin' Mount Everest.
Yes.
When that tape broke of the Billy Bush interview or hot mic thing there, when that tape broke, Governor Johnson was in the middle of doing, I think it was 20 push-ups in 110 degrees in a full three-piece suit for a charity event.
Yeah, he's the fit. Most physically fit candidate, and he is he also is one of the least objectionably bad people on the planet. I feel like it. Just I listen to his stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I like this guy. He's not terrible. He's not a terrible person.
I found out about a political party that I wish I was joking about this. I literally think I might talk to this party and see about running for president on their ticket in 4 years.
What political party is that?
It is the Prohibition Party.
Oh, that's just terrible. That's terrible.
I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't snort marijuana or whatever it is you kids do. No, I mean, here's the thing. They literally know they have no chance of winning at all in any way, shape, or form. But what they like to do is, you know, use that, the fact that they're running for president, that gets them a couple of interviews, and they pitch it as a way to save a bit of history into modern times. They have been a party, an active party on every ballot since, was it 1869? No, that wouldn't line up right, would it? It must be 18, but it, you know, over 100 years. It's an interesting thing, and I was reading up on the party, and it seems like my kind of nuts. I got to put it on my bucket list. I'm always saying you can't complain about a problem without offering a solution. I will offer that solution until I am convinced nobody is listening. So, yeah, that's... There's a couple of other crazy parties out there. The American, there's two different, actually there's two or three different communist parties.
Yeah, the communists are all, they're always around. Go ahead.
Communism has a sort of logical attractiveness to it, in that if everybody worked at the best of their ability to help everybody else, and we all shared equally in that, then yeah, fantastic. That would be great. But the problem is human nature. You know, everybody's done this. You're at a job and you start slacking off work. And if you're slacking off of work, everybody else's workload goes up. So you always have to feel like the wolves are at your heels. I mean, this is my method for trying to keep the game on, is I try to, you know, I try to set my own standards. You know, if I made 6 or 7 hours of billable time yesterday, I try to go 10 minutes more, you know, instead of taking a bunch of time to daydream between getting things done. So I'm always my own harshest thing, you know. I'm always trying to one-up myself. Well, not everybody has that work ethic. I've worked with people who are like, well, it's 5 o'clock. This critical thing that we're doing that the entire company depends on isn't done, but it's 5 o'clock. Goodbye. And, you know, I've always been of the standard that, hey, if this company isn't around, then I'm not around. I need, you know, and this is not a bad place to work, so I will always do a reasonable amount to improve and work more above and beyond what I'm required to work. But that being said, my previous job before this, they were taking advantage of that, and I was working a minimum of about 80 hours a week, and I was on call, and one Christmas Eve, I had to drive 4 hours from Ohio down to Virginia, unplug something, plug it back in, drive 4 hours back for a 60-second fix. Is it up? It's up. Okay, drive back, you know. So yeah, there's a limit to what I'll push, but that's the thing is, if everybody had my work ethic, then by gum, a communist country with, you know, 300 million of me would be absolutely unstoppable powerhouse in the world. We'd be on the moon. We'd have colonies on Mars. Problem is, not everybody has that ethic.
Yeah. Speaking of people with great work ethic,
and that's also assuming a steady state that the only things you need are farms, food, schools, and manufacturing of basic goods. Because the people who make things, the people who take the risks, who say, hey, I got this crazy idea. What if everybody could microblog at 147 characters at a time? If you're in government, you'd be like, okay, that's an interesting concept. We'll table that and talk about that next year when it comes up for vote. You know, innovators innovate because they have freedom to innovate.
Yeah.
Twitter is an objectively stupid idea, but it works.
I don't know. I am just so sick of this political season. I'm just so done with it. I can't wait for 7 p.m. Tuesday when the polls close and we start broadcasting live. And holy crap, are you in a wind tunnel?
I'm driving through a valley. Give me a minute.
Okay, what's happening now?
I am literally, I'm amazed that a call held through that area. I'm about to come into the deadest of dead zones. you know, that one stretch in West Virginia. It's literally in the National Radio Quiet Zone. It's where we're literally listening to outer space. You can actually tour the facility. It's a fantastic place. But there are no cell towers anywhere near there because we literally have to keep as much cell signal, every kind of signal, away as much as possible, so that way we can do good science to see, hey, you know, what's out there? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with having a bad cell signal if we can advance science.
So I want to talk to you about food. Let's talk about food for the event. I'm going to be bringing the fixins for nachos. I'm going to be bringing my my award-winning chili. You are a vegetarian, so you'll be able to eat the cheese and the nachos. I'll try to come up with a vegetarian chili option for you.
That'd be cool. Yes. Hey, it'll be kind of late at night for me anyway. I probably won't be eating much, so.
Yes. And we're going to, I was thinking we could do, we were talking about doing something fun, like, doing, shots of something for various victories. And I thought, I was going to force you to do a shot of hot sauce with me, if Hillary wins. And, what's an equally painful thing for if Trump wins?
Let me think. I absolutely despise peaches.
What is that? Peas?
Peaches.
Peaches? How do you dislike peaches?
For me, here's an interesting thing. I found other people on the internet that have the same thing. Peaches to us taste like acid reflux. It's something.
Oh, did I just lose you? Oh, no. You there? Let's give it a 10.
With 13.
There we go. Okay, I just got you back. But I lost you for a minute there. You said
and
peaches.
So my wife has,
Hey. You said peaches taste like acid reflux, and then you cut out. I think I've lost him.
I think it picked back up. That's
okay.
Impressive.
All right, are you there? So
I am here. I can hear you. I don't
said,
know if you can hear me.
You said peaches taste like acid reflux. And,
yeah,
there you go.
Peaches taste like acid reflux to me. And I found other people have the same kind of thing. So my wife is chronically trying to get me to see the errors of my ways and, see that peaches are the way. And so sneak it in food and any amount of it, I can taste it because it tastes like acid reflux to me.
Yeah.
So that would be, I would definitely feel the burn if Hillary wins. Hold on, I think it disconnected me.
I can still hear you.
Okay. I would definitely feel the burn of hot sauce. You know, something like Tabasco. I don't want to, like, spend the next day regretting all of my life decisions. But, yeah, I do a shot of Tabasco if Hillary wins. And if Trump wins, I how about a shot of peach? Oh, no. Hey, remember that ginger beer that tasted horrific?
I think so.
The time you and I went to that Asian market, that would be a perfect one because that stuff was like.
Oh, that was so gingery. Yeah, I kind of dug it though. It's
really?
if you were into ginger as medicine, like if you needed, there's a certain type of heartburn that I'll get that ginger will help with. So if you need ginger for medicine, that would be perfect for it. But I get you what you're saying. It's kind of the exact opposite of what you think of ginger beer in America, which is very syrupy and very sweet.
Yeah, you think of it as sweet, but yeah, that was basically medicine in a jar.
Yeah. So let's see here. I'm trying to see
Johnson
if I can get
wins,
the ambassador
hey,
of Malta
Johnson
there.
If Johnson wins, I think you and I agreed we have to do an inordinate amount of shrooms and try to walk 12 blocks down D.C., so that one's already been established.
Yes, all right, and that one's definitely happening. Let's see here. The ambassador of Malta just texted back about the event, so let's see here. So it's going to start at 7 p.m. But it goes on until the losers the loser concedes. How do you spell concedes? That's not. Oh, there we go. I got it. All right.
Autocomplete is your friend.
Autocomplete's not my friend. I was heading to go pick up a friend and take her to the airport, and I had this interchange that I had to share with my wife because it was so funny. I meant to say I'm pulling up now, but instead it said I'm pulling. First it said I'm puking up now. No. First it said I'm pulling up boys, which I deleted, and then immediately just swiped the same thing. I'm pulling up, and then I really focused on the last word and made sure it said now. So I look at it, and it says now instead of boys, so I hit send. And then I, like, hours later, I notice that I had sent I'm puking up now. So I don't know if she thought, okay, he's outside just vomiting. Vomiting in the gutter outside of my place, ready to take me to the airport. You know.
All right. I don't know why my signal's going to crap through here. I'm right next to a larger city in West Virginia. What the heck? Get your crap together, West Virginia.
It's
I heard a fascinating stat the other day. There are three times as many people. And this is a number you're hearing over the internet. I have not vetted this number myself, but there are three times as many people working in the blank industry as opposed to the coal industry. Can you guess what the blank is?
Wow.
In America, American workers.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Please tell me.
Solar power.
Wow. Cool. Well,
and I'm like, I guess that makes sense. Every minor major metropolitan area has like 10 or 15 guys working for their solar thing. Even my tiny little town in Virginia has two different solar companies. So you got 20 people per town in Virginia employed in solar. You know, that adds up quick.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about two things real quick for a little follow-up, a weekend wrap-up, that's what we were calling it, for the weekend wrap-up. I wanted to talk to you about the fact that it looks like Rush Limbaugh was dead on with his conspiracy theory about the FBI. So
tell me what his conspiracy theory was, because I mean everybody was like, you know, 3 months ago, oh, Comey's a total liberal shill dropping the investigation, and now it's like, oh, he's a total Republican shill reopening the investigation.
Yeah.
So,
well, today
I got whiplash here.
Right, and today he put out a thing saying that they're not going to change their original opinion, which, and it is one of those things, whenever I hear that, a lot of people go, oh, his original opinion was exonerating Hillary. And if you actually listen to his original opinion, it was incredibly critical to Hillary. It was incredibly contradictory.
She's too stupid to be trusted around technology. So
yeah, it was, and he did not say nothing should happen to her. He actually said that something internal should happen to her. So that's huge, and that's a hugely different view than saying that she was entirely exonerated by what he said. Oh my gosh. Clive Pierre Aguis may be showing up to our event.
Dang it, do I dress up now?
No, it's. I'm going
to
let him know that
pants,
it's. Okay, I hope to see you. Just to let you know, it's very casual. No need for suit and tie crowd. For suit and tie. At this venue. And a smiley face. Okay. All right, there we go. Okay. We might have the ambassador of Malta at this event. So, all right, that's something.
All right, that's 7 flavors of awesome.
All right. So one of my Air Force veteran buddies is going to be showing up. I'm trying to get our guest host Jason Taylor to show up, but he's saying he might be at another event. I honestly think he was messing with me because he is a higher brain form that likes to toy with the underspecies.
We call that toying with the blunt skulls.
Yeah, I hate you both. So all right, we've got to have a few people there. It's going to be pretty fun. Let's see here. Let's see if Theodore Dade, another person who was a guest star on our show, can show up. I would love for that to happen.
At least by phone call, if nothing else.
Yeah. And let's see here. The other thing I wanted to talk about was what likes and dislikes on YouTube tell us about this election. Holy crap, brother. A lot of people say that the polls are a little skewed because they'll poll more Democrats than Republicans and stuff like that. I think it's way more skewed than that because they're polling older people with landlines still.
Yeah.
And I honestly think we might see some really crazy things happen. We might see election landslides in areas that we weren't expecting to see landslides whatsoever. And you're going to be shocked that I'm going to say this, but I think it's going to be for Trump, because if you look at just looking at, and this is, you know that I don't like Trump. This is me looking at YouTube and looking at the likes on YouTube. If it's a video praising Hillary Clinton, the dislikes outweigh the likes. If it's a video praising Trump, the likes outweigh the dislikes. So just right there. And I'm not talking about by a little margin. I'm talking about there's a video that was trending today called Trump's Arguments for America. There was 20,000 more likes than dislikes. There were 4,000 dislikes and 24,000 likes. That is a huge disconnect in the dislike of Trump that the media tells us is out there. Because people, of course, all our Democrat friends talk to us about how Trump is the worst thing on the planet. And I agree that he's not the best thing on the planet. But I also don't agree that Hillary has some sort of sanctity and moral high ground over Trump. That being the case, they try to make it out that everyone feels the same way they do. And then when you look at actual numbers online, you see that that's not accurate. A lot of people like Trump. They actually like Trump. And we're talking younger people who are tech savvy. They're using the internet. They are letting their views be known on the internet. And I'm a little shocked by that, and I really can't wait to see what happens here, because we have a real chance to see what the free market of media does to an election.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing, though, you got to remember, YouTube skews crazy young, though. I'm talking not eligible to vote young. You know, it's something in the lines of, I think the average age is 13. I mean, it's a crazy young.
It's going to be interesting to see how much of that translates into actual votes. But I don't know. I so can't wait for Tuesday. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to just roast the election results. We're going to MST3K the election results. We're going to Mad Libs the election results. Is that a good way of putting it,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. That Mad Libs would be, because, you know, we're going to be basically handed a word salad that we have to make some.
Why
I
didn't make
it funny. So, yeah. Hold on. My car picked up. I didn't want it to pick up because I've got good. Yeah, you just got super quiet. All right, he's trying to get his car to stop picking up. There you go. You're back. Oh, man. Brian Carlos Sanchez, one of our contributors. He is a politically liberal friend from Indiana. He's actually born in Manila, Philippines, and like most of the people who contribute to the podcast, but he lives in Indiana now, and he just posted a very awesome and true quote from Black Lives Matter frontman Sean King that says, Bernie could have crushed Trump, which is very accurate. Bernie Sanders would have been a better pick for the Democrat Party, because he would have been able to hold his own scandal-free, but the Democrat Party is obsessed with Hillary Clinton, and they are obsessed with the Clinton dynasty, and that obsession might cost them this election. That cult following might cost them the presidency, and I really hope it does, and not because of anything, not because necessarily wanting another candidate to win, but because I want the Democrat Party to finally be free of this millstone around their neck. They are tied to the Clintons by the hip, by the pocket, by the pocketbook. They are tied to the Clintons, and in such a creepy way that the establishment loves the Clintons so much, and we. If they lose this election, they might have a coming to their sense moment, and they might shed the Clintons. And if they do that, the Democrat Party will probably become the next powerhouse party, and they'll be at it in the next 4 years. We'll probably see Gabby Bernie Sanders' running mate. We'll probably see her as the first female president in 4 years. Help me out. Who's Bernie Sanders' running mate? Oh my gosh, that was such a great stream of consciousness there. All right, let's see here. I don't know why this is taking so long to find. There is a page called Bernie's Running Mate for no reason, and it's not. There is nothing about Bernie Sanders' running mate. Okay, this is infuriating. Running mate. There we go. Let's Google this. What was her name? All right, I'm recording again, and let's just go ahead and pick up where we left off the first time we got interrupted, which I was trying to find. I was trying to find Bernie Sanders' running mate's name, because
what I was going to say is there was a firm selection, but you don't have a running mate until after you clinch your party's nomination.
Yes, but it was. One of the people who he was apparently thinking about endorsed Hillary, and a lot of them endorsed Hillary, and basically showing that they were more establishment than left. So So his official pick by the end of it was Tulsi Gabbard. Hey, say hello, say hello, say hello.
I have five bars, and for some reason you're fading out on me.
Like I said, whenever I say a statement and talk for more than 20 seconds, white noise pops in.
I mean, you are whisper quiet.
This is infuriating.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. From the numbers I'm seeing on the 538, which the 538 was totally wrong about Trump from the beginning, but from the numbers I'm seeing on the 538, if they can be trusted, then it looks like the opposite will happen with, you've got, chances are you have a win from Hillary, but as long as the Republicans can put anybody that doesn't eat puppies in public up on the ticket, her unfavorability, unless she walks on water and heals the sick, she's not going to, there's no way she can fend off anybody but a Donald Trump.
I think
no matter what, we're looking at a four-year president, because these people are just so unfavorable. And the only way that she's even there, her unfavorable numbers are slightly worse than his unfavorable numbers, which is astounding after, he brags about sexual assault.
Yeah, well, this is a point that I was making. I really see this as being if Hillary Clinton loses, the Democrat Party gets a chance to shed the Clinton ball and chain that they have, that they're tied to. I need you to this might seem silly, but I need you to be going as I talk. Because if you do that, it might not start killing me with the white noise.
I will try to be active.
Yes. So if they can kill this stigma that they have with the Clintons, and they can separate themselves from the Clintons, a full divorce, then next election season, 4 years from now, we might see Tulsi Gabbard reclaiming the Democrat Party for the left, for progressivism, for liberalism, and that's going to help them out in the long run.
The whole reason the Democrats have superdelegates is to prevent exactly what happened in the Republican Party, where you can have somebody who takes over because we broke it down early in our podcast why the primary system is totally broken in our country.
Yeah.
And it's proven out because you have a guy who's a big budget, big government liberal, who is now the head of the Republican ticket. He's never been a Republican, and my conspiracy theory is the reason we haven't seen his taxes is because he's donated a lot of money to Democrats.
Yeah.
All through it.
Yeah.
That would be more damning than anything else they could show. And we know that he's given close to $500,000 to different Democrats, including Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, he's monetarily supported Hillary Clinton for years. Well, and he was even joking about that. This is one of the things where I'm not going to be too surprised by that, because he was even joking about that in a speech yesterday about how a politician used to come to him all the time asking for handouts, and then when he actually goes and runs for office, that politician says he doesn't know him.
Yeah, there's the problem with our system. It's all about money. Every shred of it's about money.
Yeah, that is the world we live in. So, all right.
You've got the single issue voters who are like, he's anti-abortion. Well, as you covered before, the first part of that interview that they're quoting, liberals quote the end of it. The conservatives should be outraged over the first part. Social conservatives should be outraged over the first part.
Yeah, because he straight up said he's not going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And this is one of those things I firmly believe that he won't, even if Donald Trump has the ability to put up judges. We've already seen that he has taken the say something. You got to be talking.
You're coming through clear now.
I'm coming through, but I'm hearing that white noise like build up.
There may be nothing I can do about it because I'm to you. Can you,
all right.
How about now?
As long as you say something every few seconds, it comes through fine. Donald Trump takes his cues, his actual political cues, from the establishment Republicans. And if you notice, whenever he actually puts out a policy, it's establishment Republican policy. So,
well, but he's doing that. He's doing that in the primaries, or I'm sorry, in the during the election. But he has never been one to be told what to do.
This is one of those things. Does Donald Trump himself build buildings, or do architects bring him ideas?
Right. Okay. He is involved in everything
and
that's
his
name on.
That's what he does. He doesn't personally build buildings. He doesn't personally design buildings. He has architects who do that. For him, he has architects. In this situation, it's the Republican establishment who bring him ideas, and he just goes, okay, this is my idea now, and that's. In a way, that's comforting because the Republican establishment is almost the same as the Democrat establishment. They just want to maintain not the world blowing up.
Okay.
So, all right. So, whenever he's nailed down on an issue, whenever somebody says, "Hey, what do you actually think about taxes?" The tax plan that he puts forward is very similar to the establishment Republican tax plan.
Right, which no matter who gets in office, my taxes are going up for sure. It's frustrating because rich people are never going to pay taxes, never. And you've got two very rich people running head-to-head. Neither of them are billionaires, no matter what they claim. But they don't pay taxes. They have a shady charity that they pay into. The Walmart family, the Waltons, they have a charity that they donate artwork to, and then that artwork gets stored in their personal houses, but it's part of the charities, and so they never have to pay taxes. You and I pay taxes because we're not rich enough to be an Irish company. You have when you talk about American companies, Apple is located in Cupertino, which is amazing for an Irish company. all of these companies are all Irish companies because they can dodge a lot of taxes by being an Irish company.
Yeah. Oh no, I know. I know how they play that game. Speaking of that, we're going to be incorporating in the Cayman Islands.
I was going to go for Las Vegas company. What's the other one? Delaware.
Delaware, yeah. Well, I live close enough to Delaware to go check our P.O. box if we do that.
This guy is so up my tail.
Up
your
butt.
If I brake check you, you're going through my windshield, all right?
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and cut this off so I can edit this and get this online tonight. I hope to see a lot of you either in person at the live stream event that we're doing in Gaithersburg. Hey, White Noise.
That'll be cool. Yeah, be glad to see a bunch of those folks.
Yes. And I hope to see people logging in online to see us live stream the election results. We're going to roast the election. We are going to MST3K the election. We're going to Mad Lib the election results. It's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in for our
which platforms are you going to stream on? I'd say let's do some practicing.
Yeah, we're going to have multiple platforms. It's all going to be up on thepodcast.com. So you can go to thepodcaste.com. And you will see us streaming, or you will see a link to the streaming. So that is going to be our hub. That's how we're going to do it. And this is Gunn saying, keep talking it out.
Very good.
Yes.
All right.
Vio con Dilios, brother. Drive safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.